Hi, this is Dan Sheridan. It's a pleasure once again spending time with you in the Word of God. We're going through the New Testament line by line, studying all of our favorite topics, and seeking answers to all the tough questions that we have in the context and flow of the Word of God. And today we come to Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 20. Now, we just saw in our last few passages how the Lord elected his the future ones who are going to be those who have high positions in his coming kingdom, in his coming government. And these men were chosen not because they were from an aristocracy or anything like that. They were chosen because of their humility. And in God's kingdom, the roles are going to be reversed. Those who have positions of authority in God's kingdom are those who had the concern of the people in mind, those who cared about others. In the Old Testament, we see these characteristics demonstrated by men like Mordecai and Nehemiah, who didn't use their position to enrich themselves and trample the poor. They used their positions to be good to the people. Peter talks about the good types of shepherds in his letters, those who don't domineer the people, but the leaders are humble. And in verse 20, we begin, and our Lord says this in verse 20, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said unto," he's speaking to them now, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God," or literally the government of God. Now, notice it's this term poor here doesn't necessarily mean that they have no money or they're completely starving. Some may have been, many were, but it meant that they were downtrodden by the upper class, by the aristocracy. And this is nothing new in history, by the way. This is a common thing where the one class of people does its everything in its power through various laws and practices to keep the aristocracy in power. And the poor are despised, those who aren't part of the aristocracy class. And in Israel, there were only two classes at this time. There were the rich who were corrupt, and then there were those who were downtrodden, the poor. And what's fascinating is that these rich people wanted to preserve the status quo. They were a hereditary aristocracy, and they looked out for each other. And they did this by various laws and practices. And they actually told the poor that it was God's will that this happened, and it was an impassable barrier. And this is the way God intends it into try to pass it would be to deny God's will, that this is exactly the way God intended it. That's how they did it. And we find this principle all throughout history. Even in early America, they had people called gentlemen, and anyone who wasn't a gentleman couldn't do gentlemanly things like play certain games. And they even made laws detesting and punishing those who weren't of the gentleman class from doing things that only gentlemen can do. That's how stupid some of these laws are. And they're based on human pride. They're not based on human merit, but they're based on artificial pride. And it says here, verse 21, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." And this is going to take place in the kingdom of God, when God begins to govern. And one thing to keep in mind, that we are referring here to a time when God is visibly active and loyalty is being tested. So these passages we're reading here have reference to a time when God will be governing. So blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Remember, our Lord proclaimed that the kingdom of God is near, is at hand. So it's just at the doors in that proclamation, and God is taking care of them in the meantime. So he says, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." And I'm sure they were weeping over the condition of what was going on in their nation, and they longed for something better. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Now notice that the poor class was hated, and laws were set up to separate the rich and the poor, the hereditary class, the aristocracy from the common people. And they were hated for the Son of Man's sake. And that means that the message that Jesus Christ proclaimed is not something that promotes a wealth class. And it never has been. And that's why they hate him for it. And it's a shame. It's interesting throughout history that many people in so-called Christian nations, no such thing, by the way, those who proclaimed a Christianity set up a class system like this in the name of Christianity. That's how far they twisted the truth of God. Verse 23. So in other words, in the past, people have used even the Christian religion to oppress others. Verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day and be in leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Notice it's not in this passage is this phrase, reward is great in heaven, is used on other occasions. It's not enjoyed there. It's just it's reserved in heaven's bank. It doesn't mean they're going to heaven. And by the way, the scriptures never talk about people going to heaven or living in heaven. Things are reserved in heaven. Christ is in heaven right now. Heaven exists. But the future home and God's the place for God's redeemed is on earth. All of God's redeemed. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says the heaven and the heavens of the heavens are the Lord our God's, but the earth he's given to the sons of men or the children of humanity, however you translate it there. I'm only going by memory. I don't remember if it's sons or children. But the point being is I don't know any verse that has revised that statement. The earth is the future home of God's redeemed, and it's going to be a wonderful earth when God begins to govern. And so this reward is great in heaven for them, but they're not going to enjoy it there. And it says, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So these poor are associated with prophets. These poor, these disciples here, are the downtrodden who are going to be the future rulers, the ones that God chose to represent him in his kingdom. And now we're going to see the false prophets, verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich. Now, he's not saying, the scriptures don't speak against riches per se, but the fact is that these people got rich by trampling on the poor. There's nothing wrong with honest work and making a profit. The scriptures are never against that, but in this case, they were doing it at the expense of the poor. They were doing it unjustly. And that's why Paul tells us that they that are rich need to recognize, not be proud. It's not because they're great. It's because God has given them the ability and that they are to be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That's what Paul said. I didn't say that. Paul said it, and I agree with Paul. And he says, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. In other words, they're not going to have any position in God's future government. What they had right then and there, that's all they were getting. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Think about this. They were full, and this was their sin. They were full while there were those around them that were hungering. And the sin of Sodom in the Old Testament is pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. And a very similar thing here. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. They were laughing because they had it made. They were enjoying themselves at the expense of others. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So we have the two characters, the two classes, the poor, who are considered the true prophets, the true representatives who speak for God. And then we have the rich, who were the false prophets. They didn't speak for God at all. They spoke for themselves. Everything that came out of their mouths was self for selfish purposes. And then he says in verse 27, But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, I strive to be to follow these as much as I possibly can. I think our Lord is telling them, bear this kingdom fruit now, to bear the fruit of the kingdom now. And I think we should strive the best we can to do this. And it says, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Now, this is an instance here of theft. And I think we have to, again, keep in mind that this isn't a time when God is visibly active. And in the kingdom of God, these crimes will be taken care of immediately because the kingdom of God will be within people. And they'll hear a voice behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And crimes will be dealt with instantaneously. And so they could do this without too much trouble. And for instance, today, if somebody comes and robs your house, you call the police. and you try to solve it as peaceably as possible, but you call the police. Well, this is our Lord saying, if someone takes something from you, remember they were under foreign yoke here, he goes, don't worry about it. God will take care of it. But in our case today, we call on the police. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Again, you got to keep this in the time when God is visibly active, taking care of these disciples. Verse 31, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And I'll give you, for instance, you ever see mafia movies? They all love you. They always say, I love you, I love you. There was a biker show and a biker gang. They love each other. They love anyone who's in the club, but those outside the club aren't loved. And that's what sinners do. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. The point is to be active in your goodness toward those even who don't like you. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But, he says, love your enemies. Love finds all of the motive for its love in its own heart, not in the object of love. And even if somebody doesn't like you and he hates you, he's saying love your enemies. And that means you're actively trying to seek their love, to win them, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. In other words, you're going to be those who represent the Highest God, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So imitate what God does in this respect. And he says, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Mercy is getting into, is looking at someone's lot in life and getting involved and having a feeling of sympathy and going through it with them. And so our Lord's message here, the kingdom fruit is the kind of thing that you do where you're involved in other people's lives, not just those who like you or those you have a common interest with. Now, keep in mind, again, this is written at a time when God is visibly active. And in the book of Acts, God's Spirit is poured out in a measure, and he's visibly acting and taking care of them, just like he took care of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So when we look at these things, we have to use our discernment. We can't just open up our house and say, take whatever you please, because we have debts that we have to pay, and we have obligations to others today. So God is not promising he's going to take care of every little detail today, so we can't just give up everything and not pay our bills. And so this is a different time here. So think about that and in what direction you put these into practice. And then verse 37 says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. And ye shall be forgiven. Now notice this. In verse 42, we see the opposite of the hypocrisy, where we have those who are judging others and condemning others when they're guilty of the same things. And this is what the Pharisees were doing. This is what the old leaders who were on their way out were doing. They were full of judgment and condemnation toward others. And so that is because they invented morals. They added, we saw that the Pharisees and the scribes, they added to the law of God, their own ceremonies, as well as additional morals. They invented morals. And when you do that, when you add to the Word of God moralities that are your own, that are based on your tastes or, you know, maybe the part of the world you live in, you become incapable of seeing your own shortcomings. And you judge people based on the morality you've invented. And this is what they were doing. And he says, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And this has to do with providential dealings, that God will let things go. You have to have the right attitude in dealing with others. If you have this attitude in dealing with others that you're unbending, and you look with other people with a view toward condemnation, that's just not the way that God wants you to act toward others. He wants us to be in a let-go attitude towards others, and that's what the word forgive means. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And this has to do with the kingdom of God, rewards for this kind of faithful service. And notice it says that men shall give into your bosom. In other words, when you're this way towards others, men are going to be that way towards you. You know, there's a proverb that says that let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And when that happens, you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. If you want to win the favor of men, you do it by having mercy and truth. Mercy and truth together. That's how you win favor. And some people think that you're only being faithful when you're offending men. That's not true at all. That's not true. You know, the scriptures talk about finding favor with God and men. And if we purposely want to offend people, we're not doing the right thing. Now, sure, certain people will be offended for truth. And certain people will be offended even if you present the truth in love. We can't do anything about that. But when you purposely set out to offend others, you're not following the way of God. You're following the way that you've invented. You have a self-righteous streak going. God forgive me for the times that I've acted in this manner towards others. But notice it's men that shall give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal shall be measured to you. In other words, if you treat others like garbage, they're going to give it right back to you. And this is a principle. And he gives a parable in this context. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Of course. When a blind person wants to lead the way, they're going to, you know, lead another blind person. They're all going to end up in the same predicament. And then he says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So whoever is the leader, the one, a leader will be just like his master. And he says, and why beholdest thou them? Again, the context here is the blind leading the blind. So a blind person can only be as blind as the one leading him. So they'll be equally blind. And so he says here, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? This is the context. It's a blind person leading the blind. It's a person who's judging others while he himself is full of horrible things that he can't detect. Because the Pharisees added to the word of God in their own ceremonies and their own morality. They looked at the mote in other people's eyes and they were unable to detect the problem in themselves, the glaring problems, because they were hardened, because they added to the scriptures. And so why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? He says, thou hypocrite, they're play actors. They're play actors. The Pharisees were play actors. They were dishonest. They had the appearance of righteousness. But the disciples, the ones whom God elected here, that Jesus Christ chose, he elected to positions in his government. They were honest and they were humble. And it says, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. In other words, you can't be of use to your brother who's having problems unless you yourself recognize your own. This is the Galatians 6, 1 and 2 principle. Read it on your own. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Remember, the subject is the hypocrisy that we just read about. It's referring to the Pharisees. And because of their traditions that they had to the Word of God, they were only proving that they were a corrupt tree. A good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree, that is a tree that adds to the word of God the traditions that they had and the things that they did, that doesn't bring forth good fruit. The Pharisees weren't bringing forth good fruit. They were oppressing the others. They were trodding down others. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, neither of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. In other words, he's not a hypocrite. He's referring again to, he's contrasting the Pharisees, the false prophets, with the poor, his disciples, the true representatives of God. And we talked about the characteristics of a good ruler. Here's good fruit. And what is the fruit that good rulers bring forth? Well, we mentioned it in the Old Testament. Men like Nehemiah, men like Mordecai, who sought the good of others and spoke peace to them. Read Esther chapter 10. Seeking the welfare of others. Well, the Pharisees, they didn't bring forth that which is good. They were a rich aristocracy who looked out for each other, not for the people, for the good of the people. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, and an evil man out of the good evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Let me read that again. I think I misread that. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So what came out of the Pharisees was manifest, and what came out of the disciples was manifest. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And what he's referring to here is the things he just spoke of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Here are the two groups of people: those who listened to the words of the Lord Jesus and put them into practice, lived lives of honesty and humility, and then there were those who heard the words of the Lord Jesus and either gave it lip service or denied it altogether, like the Pharisees did, and the ruin of that house was great. The rich had a lot to lose. The scribes and the Pharisees had a lot to lose, and lose out they did. And they will in the coming kingdom of God. They will be corrected and dealt with at that time. All right, well, that's all we have time for. We finished Luke chapter 6. We'll pick it up in chapter 7 next time. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening.